When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Let's listen to this music, Judith, because we haven't heard it for a couple
Shall
of weeks.
We?
Yeah, let's concentrate. Do you remember this? Do you remember this music? Do you remember it? Do you remember, like, we used to do the podcast in the olden days before you went on holiday for 2.5 weeks, leaving me and the listeners in the lurch? Was it worth it? Hey?
It was.
When did I missed you, actually?
I missed you.
I missed you. I don't like you being out of the country. I like it when you get home. I think, well, if anything goes really, really wrong, I can ring Judith and she can sort it out.
Do you? Like your sister. I'm like your older sister, really, aren't I?
Yeah, you'd
I'm
like
a nicer
spare.
Version Sarah of your older sister.
Yeah, you're a spare older sister. My sister was on holiday. She was fucking swimming around Greece or doing something ludicrous.
Was she now? Yes. So we're very similar. We're very similar, Sarah and I feel.
Yes, but you're not allowed to be friends because you're my friend. And that's how it works. You can't be my sister's friend when you're my friend. I might do the rest of the show in that voice.
It's a very funny voice. It's a very, very funny
my
voice.
My friend.
Oh, anyway, my God, stop it. You're scaring me now.
Yes.
Fucking hell.
So tell me, remind the listeners where you have been and what you have been up to.
Well, I've been gadding, Jenny. I've been gadding for really quite a long time. If anything, too
months.
Long. Genuinely, a bit too long.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I realised that I don't really like being away longer than about 10 days. I get a bit kind of, oh, how are my tomatoes doing? And I quite let to get... I want to get on. I want to get on there.
I bet your garden was ruined by the time you got home. I bet it was full of split tomatoes and rotting apples and all sorts of... Yeah, everything gone to pulp.
The whole thing.
Yeah, weeds everywhere. Always, yeah, every time I look out there, it's saying, come on, we need you here. We need you to do this. And oh, you know what I mean? I can't actually be bothered now I'm back. But had a very nice, we had a very nice gadabout. But you
starting
know what I feel?
Where did we start? We
started in a place called Trogir. So we went to Croatia. We did this before. We did this holiday last year. Some of the people who listen to this avidly, and there are a few, aren't there?
There are three or four.
Well, yeah, not a lot, but there are a few. So we did a very similar holiday last year. But so basically, we were on a boat doing island hopping with. Yeah. Bikes on board, so you go to an island, you sort of cycle around the island, then you get back on the boat, then you go to the next island. And it is beautiful. You've never been to Croatian islands, and I think you probably have. They are, I mean, just to die for. I would really, really, really recommend it to the gang. Gorgeous, gorgeous place. Clean, beautiful, clear water, not terribly expensive, and gorgeous, you know,
I remember
stored
going to Dubrovnik,
sort of key.
And that's what struck me most, actually, about Croatia, how clean the pavements were.
Yes,
literally,
you could have eaten
your dinner off the streets of Dubrovnik.
And did you?
I didn't, Judith, because I ate off a plate like a civilised human being, but had it tipped to the street, onto the floor. As long as there wasn't a mangy cat with one pussy yellow eye licking it up, I'd have gone and licked it off the Croatian
pavement.
I know
what you mean.
Yeah.
It is. It's very, and all these gorgeous kind of... sort of harbours that we went to. Mm. Beautiful houses, all gorgeously restored. You know, all the stones are nice and clean. It's a bit like Greece, but you can kind of flush the loos and it's sort of new. It's like a new version of Greece.
And also, Greece gets a bit hung up on its own cuisine, doesn't it? And sometimes you go to Greece and you think, oh, I can't do... Anyway, I'm allergic to tomatoes, so it's tricky for me,
a Greek salad. Yes,
it's very feta and tomato, olive. Oh, yeah, yes. And you just think, all right now then, come on. You know, it's 2022, go up now. I want something a little bit different now. I mean, I'm not quite sure what Croatian cuisine involves.
Oh, well, I'm not entirely sure either, because a lot of the time we ate on the boat. And the boat
and what was
a German
that cuisine.
Well, it was a German company.
Okay.
And it's a very wholesome food. And on it was kind of three meals a day. And the trouble
is hearty?
I mean, oh, yeah, yeah. Lots of
I'm surprised that boat could sail. I mean, I'm surprised it didn't sink because German food is quite heavy.
But gnocchi, we're talking gnocchi or pasta for lunch, Jesus. Jenny.
Oh, God, no.
I know. Well, yeah, and then a cycle ride in the afternoon.
Well, that's
very,
makes
very
sense.
Sluggish. What?
Yeah. Did you not sometimes say, oh, fuck the bike, I'm just going to have lie down in my cabin?
I didn't once, but I felt like it, I tell you. I think there were a couple of people who did it. Maybe that's why they did it. They thought, well, we'll get those two in the cabin for the afternoon, you know, out of our way. Yeah. No, but it was, yeah, the food wasn't good. It wasn't good. Oh. It was the kind of meal where you have that kind of watery soup to begin with. Then, you know, people are saying, is this pork or yeah. is it chicken or is
yeah.
it beef?
It's a giveaway, isn't it? It's a giveaway. Sauces, when people say, when you can't guess what meat it is.
Exactly. Yeah. The trouble is, I eat everything that's put in front of me. I mean, that, you know, everything that I enjoy, so it's not great for me. So I'm quite large. I'm of a large circumference. And,
Well, then, can I just interrupt and just say that photograph that somebody took when you were on your last night in Split, they must have done it from a very good angle, because I have to say, both you and Mike look in your prime.
Oh,
in
bless
fact,
you.
I almost had to go to bed for the afternoon when I looked at that photograph, because I was so upset by my own self and what I looked like. I really just thought, I also had to give myself a talking to. I sort of mentally sat on the end of the bed and went, right, Jenny, you've got to get yourself together now. You've got to really put yourself in shape now. If Judith's looking like that, she's 5 years older and she looks 5 years younger than you. This isn't right. Look, her teeth are even quite good. Oh, Christ. Oh,
you zoomed in to that and put to that extent.
I went to that extent.
Oh, Jenny, that's not good. Seeing me on Thursday. It'll all come undone. You'll see me on Thursday and you'll think, oh, good.
Well, hopefully you can't get your trousers up.
I can't. I can barely do up my trousers. And I think I was sucking it in and it was a good angle. And it was that lovely sulphur light. It was that. But it was in Split, and it's in this Diocletian, I think that's the right word, some Roman emperor's palace, and they've got this gorgeous kind of sunken area with cushions, and there's always live music and people have drinks there, and you know that kind of Roman very subtle sulphur lighting, it was that, and candles.
Sulphur lighting, I've not heard that phrase before. I might Google that to make sure you're not talking
wrong.
Absolute nonsense.
I'm probably talking bollocks.
Because when I
anyway.
Think of a sulphur, no, I don't, I think you could be right. Mm-hmm. Whenever I think of the word sulphur, I think of a sulphurous smell, which is a sort of gassy, eggy kind of whiff.
Yes, I know. I think, well, maybe it's gaslighting. Well, look it up, but I think it's the thing.
Okay.
I think it's the thing. All right. So I think it was flattering. I wouldn't worry. And you will see me on Thursday.
I've had my cut and my hair cut as well, which has really cheered me up, because I just go into this mode, and both Phoebe coined the phrase, and where we both do this, and we can sort of keep ourselves together for, and then about once every 2 or 3 months, we kind of just, our hair goes, everything goes, and we go into what we call scarecrow mode. And you just look really unkempt and really untogether, and clothes don't work. It's usually between seasons. You don't know whether you're in sort of end of summer or beginning of autumn, and you get confused. And I go really, and the other day, I mean, I was like fat scarecrow. I really depressed myself. I really did. I've had to buy myself a couple of new T-shirts and some new socks to stop myself feeling so unkempt.
Yeah, and you've been to the hairdressers. So
I've you've been got to the kind hairdressers. Of, yeah.
right. Is it
yeah.
short? I guess it's quite short.
It's short and it's blonde, and I feel like I can see my face again, and it's all right. But I need new glasses because, you know, my lenses are too scratched. And there comes a point where you've just got to go, no, you have to, unfortunately, spend some money on yourself. And nobody's got any money. It's all a nightmare. But anyway, let's get back to your holiday. Right. What were your highs? What were your lows?
I'll get the lows out of the way first, which was definitely the seasickness. Well, two things. Last year, we were on a gorgeous boat, right? And when we rebooked,
I remember
we said... Yeah. I mean, honestly, it was a tadami. We sailed into these places and, you know, it was kind of, aren't they lucky on that boat? It's gorgeous. Yeah. Big. It was, you could eat outside. It was, you know,
used to go out with, and peg your swim costume out and then look at the poor people on the harbour as if to say, I live on this boat.
Yes, my yacht. Yeah, it was a bit, I'm on a yacht and you're not. And that's not an original phrase. It's a Clive Jade phrase. But yes, it was gorgeous. And when we booked, we put, you know, it's going to be the Princess Diana, is it? It's going to be the same boat. Was it hell? No, it wasn't. It was a sort of scrawny kind of, I mean, it wasn't fishing. It was bigger than a fishing boat. Of course it was. But it was kind of,
was it like a trawler? Was it like a trawler in Fleetwood? Was it going to, did it look like it was going to get some mackerel?
It was a bit, you know, like really 1970s log cabin look.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Quite cheap sort of pine everywhere. It was a bit like the size of the cabin.
Laminate. Lots of laminate.
It was just so inferior. And I mean, thank God we ordered a twin back cabin. I mean, we could honestly, there was so, you couldn't, we couldn't, you know, it was a bit like, what are you doing now? Like, I'm getting up and doing this. Okay, well, I'll get up next kind of thing. It was, you had to take it in turns to kind of do things in the bedroom. And there was a lot of hooks with bags everywhere because, you know, there were no drawers. But the people
like a caravan, really. Like a small just caravan. Like,
Well, it was.
When you say twin room, did you say, was it a bed each?
Yeah, it was bed each, but that was a good decision, Jenny. That was a good decision. So the people who had the double cabins, I mean, first of all, one person had to crawl over the other one to get in or out. It's always a nightmare, isn't it, at our age? And even smaller. Smaller.
God, Jesus.
So, yeah.
Did anybody say, did you voice this to the captain or was everybody very good about it?
Well, I think most people were good, but no, I certainly did. I certainly had. But, you know, they were very good. They were a German kind of guides, and they obviously they were ready for someone like me. You know, they'd obviously been to the class, which obviously must feature on any kind of
dealing with disappointment. Know. Is that what the class
dealing
is
with dealing women with like disappointed. You and I?
Yes. You know, dealing with, so I'm going to rephrase that. Dealing with disappointment when a woman approaches smiling but with a sort of grimace and a glint in her eye. Basically, she's coming to have a really long fucking moan. How are you going to deal with that? Okay, did you do?
No, they had the answer ready immediately. They said, what cabin number are you in? So I said, number 12. She said, well, that's not the smallest. So she had the answer ready, you see, right there. So, it's no good starting complaining because the others would love your cabin.
I don't think that is the correct response. I mean, it is a response, but I mean, I don't think it's dealing with your disappointment.
Oh, I don't think she had any. I think that, you know, disappointment. It was like, I'm not having it. I'm not dealing with your disappointment.
I thought she was going to say, I'm really sorry, but the other boat burnt down. That's what I'd have said.
No,
we were very lucky to get this.
Yeah. I think increasingly, as we have, you know, sometimes in Citizens Arrest Corner, we have discussed. I think sometimes. But customer service training is, you know, they're
non-existent,
quite good at
Judith. It is non-existent. I just say that I had a hotel room recently when I was doing a TV job and the commute got too much for me. I can't say which studios I was going to in case that's a bit of a giveaway, but they're quite famous. And I was in a local hotel and for some reason I thought it'd be all right. And I got into my double room that I was going to have for a couple of nights. So I got everything out, you know, like you do. You make yourself at home.
Yes.
You
nested.
I nested. I got all my chargers out, all that sort of thing. I had a bath. I thought, it's fine. It's really naff, but it's fine. And then as I was getting to bed and I had a glass of wine ready on my bedside table, there was this electronic drone that was coming through the grill. There was a grill. And I just thought, well, it was like an aircon thing, whatever. And I was naked underneath a toweling robe. And I went down to the foyer because I thought, I'm not getting dressed again. I said, there's this terrible noise. And she looked at me and she went, what, like an insect? Like it was some
like
I was some kind of nutcase being really difficult over nothing. I said,
oh
no,
God.
No, young lady, I think you're going to have to come with me and actually hear it for yourself. Anyway, she did. And in the end, you know, I was taken to... But they did this really spiteful thing, right? It was a boy and girl combo, right, at the foyer. And the bloke said in a kind of spiteful way, he said, we're going to take you somewhere much quieter. There was a bit of a threat in his voice. I said, will I have to cross a courtyard? Meaning, do I have to go outside? Because I just suspected there was an annex involved. And he went, it's not a courtyard. It's just the front of the hotel. It's where the cars park. So I thought, right, OK. It's 11:15 at night. I'm crossing the car park in my bare feet. OK, he's got to help me with all my stuff. They put me in one of the downstairs rooms for the elderly and the infirm. You know, where everything's got grab rails and all this kind of thing.
Non-slip floors.
It was a spiteful little thing, you know. But, you know, all right, old lady. You've done your moan. Let's see. Right, we'll put you in here.
Well, I think on that course, they must have that waiting as a strategy, mustn't they? It must be, you know, another option open and available to you if people do get difficult.
And at one point I said, I haven't had an apology for this, you know, having to repack everything and all this. I know it's nobody's fault, but it is a bore for me. And he went like this, sorry.
He didn't. He did. Jenny, no.
And I laughed. I said, that was almost brilliant.
Oh, yeah. My God, I don't know how you didn't swing for him.
Oh, bloody hell. You're not allowed these days, Judith. You're not allowed.
Oh, no, you're not allowed. You're not allowed. Oh, but yeah, the word sorry goes a long way, doesn't it? I mean,
it really does.
Yes.
It like calms me down instantly.
Yes.
It's like a sort of dart into my bloodstream of a cooling kind of, it's all right, it's all right. But if nobody blows that dart into my bloodstream, I just get madder and madder.
I know, we just boil
over. It's the antidote.
It's
the fucking antidote. Just say sorry.
It helps. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Because I know. We should be teaching on this course.
Oh, God, yeah. That's what we should be doing. Disappointment with Jenny and Judith. Hey, let's do a little fringe show next year.
Shall we?
Judith, talk me through your seasickness.
Almost, yeah. Well, the seasickness, the trouble is, I was looking at the weather, you know, before we went, and it wasn't looking great. Yeah. We got there, and they said that we might have to change routes. I thought, oh, shit, that doesn't sound good, does it? So we all went up to the top deck, you know, on the first morning, kind of, yeah, when we started to sail off. And I think it was quite pleasant for about 15 minutes. Little by little, we got out to sea. And it was 5 hours, the first crossing. Yeah. 5 hours. It got rougher and rougher and rougher. One by one, they all went downstairs. Got windier and windier and more rocky. And I just reached that point where I couldn't move. I actually couldn't move. And I was the only one up there, the last person that went down. I said, you'll have to send Mike up with a sick bag for me. I can't move. I was desperate for the loo. And it started to do that thing, you know, kind of rocking forwards and back. You can kind of deal with, can't you? Sort of deal with it.
Yeah.
And it was going sideways as well. And it was, you know, how that awful movement, sideways, sliding.
And you can never predict which way it's going to go. Yes.
Oh, it was just terrible. There was no loo up there. I was desperate for the loo. 5 bloody hours of that I did. Managed not to be sick. So from then on, I had to find out what time. Whenever they put the engines on and they started to move, it was a pretty exhausting holiday. I had to know what time it was going to be so that I could be up and dressed and where the captain told me to sit. Because you know me, I asked Sir where the best place on the boat to sit was.
That poor bloke, he must have been thinking, God, you know, I'm setting off at 6:30. She's going to be there, isn't she? That woman's going to be there. Saying, where shall I sit? Where shall I sit so I can't be sick? Where shall I sit?
Well, it was right next to
you. So you weren't even sick. I once did a storm on a cruise ship, which was so bad, they had to put stabilisers on either side of the ship to stop it rolling over.
Oh, no, Jenny. Are you serious?
Well, you were a bit slow to react then, Judith.
I'm
totally serious.
What do you mean they put stabilisers
on either side? They have these big things that go out.
Jesus.
They have
really?
These things they say we're going to have to put the... And they're like big roller things, yes, that sit on top of the water and just steady... Yeah, like sort of wings.
My God. My God.
Anyway, there we go. You basically fell in love with Croatia and all the islands. And how was the cycling bit?
Cycling was lovely and, you know, lots of sort of lavender fields and smells of figs. And yeah, gorgeous, gorgeous islands.
So you finished your cycling and sailing holiday. You've landed on, which mainland are you, which bit of Croatia?
We went to Split, which is very, very
gorgeous. And
this
is where you have a villa.
Yes, we had a villa, which was quite near the airport, to be honest.
Yeah.
And the weather was the weather when we were sailing was pretty iffy, but it was actually pretty grim when we got to the villa. But Sienna and James were coming out. That's why we did it, is that we hung around for a day while they came out, and we thought, it'd be lovely to have a holiday with the twins. And it was indeed very, very lovely. However, it was, as you might imagine, incredibly hard work, and they both looked broken.
I do not know. I mean, I've been on tour and I've been doing some fairly intensive telly programmes I can't tell anybody about.
You've been very busy.
It just sounds like I'm making them up. Oh, yes, I've done this Hush Hush TV programme. And people go, yeah, right, she's been unemployed. But I have done some quite intensive filming. And I've been away from home a lot. But when I do go home, I try and see as much of Arlo as possible. Now, he is only one child. He's one baby. He's 2 months old. I mean, you know, he shouldn't be, and he's no trouble, really. He's not a difficult baby. Jesus, God, Judith, when I get home after a day with Phoebe and Arlo, I am I sleep like the dead. I mean, really, I don't know how you do two. And they're a bit bigger now and they're eating food and chugging it about. And what are they up to? So tell me what 6-month-olds do.
I can't believe that Arlo's only 2 months. I thought he might be a bit older than that, actually.
About 2.5 now. Well, he's born 21st of July, so officially 3 months on 21st of October.
I mean, he looks really well. Arlo looks fabulously well.
You're calling my grandson fat? Are you calling my grandson fat?
No, I'm not. Don't be daft. Yeah, he looks great. Looks really
good. He's a big
good.
Lad. He's you know, sometimes when he's being breastfed on demand, I mean, that's a rod for your own back, isn't it? But there are reasons, and it's the possible cow's milk allergy thing that, because he had this very dramatic rash when he was first born. So she's been just cut out all dairy and has been breastfeeding on demand.
Is it working? Touch wood.
He hasn't had a rash. He has not had a rash or any reactions to you know, the pure breast milk, whatever. But he is eating her alive. I mean, basically, it does look sometimes when he's breastfeeding her, he does look like he's going to just swallow her, because he was quite small. It just looks like, and I think, look at him, I think his head's about the same size. It's about the same size, really. And he's straddling her like this koala, this sort of baby koala. And he's so sweet. He's a very, I mean, he's a bit young still to really know who he is and what kind of little lad he's going to be, but I think he's quite thoughtful and he does entertain himself. He sort of lies underneath on that beautiful quilt you made. He lies on that and he plays with his baby gym thing, and you know, he just does kicking and reaching for things, and you know, he's smiling, and it's not easy to make smile. He's not sort of some happy-go-lucky kind of cheery chappy thing. You have to work on him. And he's thoughtful and he
thoughtful.
Likes
what
trees.
Do you mean by that? What do you mean by thoughtful? It's an interesting word.
I just sort of, he just seems to be thoughtful. He's a thoughtful baby. He loves trees and patterns, so he's either going to be a lumberjack or a textile designer. I'm sort of, you know.
And does he recognise you? Does he smile when he sees you?
Phoebe thinks he does, yeah. I think he's a bit confused between me and Phoebe because we're the same colour and we've got glasses and all that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
I'd say he's neither easy or difficult. Well, he smells still, he's very milky. I think they're giving him too many baths and they've had to cut back because his legs went scaly like a crocodile. And he's got a massive patch of thick orange cradle cap, which apparently these days you're not allowed to pick. Did the twins get cradle cap?
No, but they've got crusty bits behind their ears. They've got nice crusty bits that you can just kind of get, you know, just kind of get out, really. But so you're not allowed to, don't tell me you're not allowed to put to pick the cradle
not
cap
to
off.
Pick it anymore. No, not allowed because it can get infected. I'm not allowed to poke him either when he's asleep. You know, when I go round, I think, well, come on, I want a little play. I just do some sort of clumsy poking. I love his bare legs. You know, those roly-poly thighs. Little thighs, great big juicy thighs. And you just look at them and you think, oh, they just want to be covered in gravy. And I'd eat them all up.
I'm looking forward to meeting him. It's time we had a day out with the babies, isn't it, really?
I think because when you've got twins, it's easier to sort of guess at their personalities because there's a contrast, isn't there?
Probably, yes. Yes, I think you're right, actually. I mean, the twins are very, very obviously different. I mean, Stanley is, you know, he's going to be a sort of rugby player or, you know, very, very bossy. He's big, he's huge, and he's now kind of escaping off beds, you know,
is he crawling?
Well, he's very, very close to crawling, and now he's got this going backwards thing. So before you could put pillows round him, you know, to sort of contain him, but now he's kind of going backwards and nearly off the bed. And Eddie is, inquisitive and, I mean, really loves music. I played some music to him this morning and he just, you know, he just is entranced.
Right, so he's a composer and a musician.
Oh, yes, obviously. They are a handful. They arrived in Croatia broken because they're waking up all night and the two of them were so sleep starved. So in the end, I did the 6:30 in the morning till Mike came on duty at 8. So we did the kind of 6:30 to 10 o'clock slot. And then actually we had them a lot in the daytime as well, so they could catch up on their sleep. It was very, very hard work, but very lovely. And yeah, well, thank God there was a washing machine. I don't think I've ever done so much washing in my life. I mean, literally.
But I think they're quite fussy, aren't they? Because Phoebe gets, you know, if Arlo's got a tiny smear of shit on the baby gross, goes, oh, I'll have to change him. I think, oh, no, you don't. Just get a bit of a wet wipe and, you know, splodge that out a bit. It's not a big deal.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing and context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
Do you know, I heard myself saying something the other day for the first time, which I know I will say again and again, because we took them off and Mike and I had an ice cream because we, you know, went off with the pram. And so I gave them both a sort of lick of my ice cream off my finger. And obviously, they both adored it. Yes. And I found myself saying, don't tell your mother. And I bet you that is going to be... It's going to be a thing,
That'll be on repeat, won't it? Are they not meant to eat ice cream? Is that not on?
Well, I don't think that she'd really kind of... Well, she did this thing of kind of going through all the vegetables, the green ones, and then the orange ones, and then, you know, I think they've
she's introducing food, isn't she?
She's introducing. Was off-piste. It was off-piste. And I know I shouldn't have done it, but they did love it.
Just you missed the Queen's funeral, Judith.
I did, I know. And it was like, because I was actually cycling on a boat, couldn't even find a kind of cafe somewhere to go and watch it. No. Saw bits of it. I mean, the corgis kind of, God.
Did they finish you off?
Broke.
Yeah.
You are.
And the pony, there was a great bit when there was a pony standing on the side of the road to Windsor, her favourite pony. And
Yes.
It was so beautiful, I can't tell you. I mean... There was a bit when I got bored, and that was the religious bit, because, you know me, I can't really do with that, all that sort of stuff. And so in the church service bit, I went and made some soup, and then I did a bit of painting. But I was right there at the beginning for all the marching and the military and the uniforms. It's just so beautifully done. I mean, London looked so sort of familiar but alien because there was nobody there. It was you know, the streets were totally empty for this extraordinary procession. It was, it was real, and I snivelled and wept through it and, I don't know, it was exhausting.
It was a big thing, wasn't it? And actually, somehow, as you're saying all that, what occurs to me is that because of the political mess that we're in and the world is in, somehow the end of that era and all the kind of order,
security,
security that she represented, could not have been worse timed, could it?
No, it just. We all feel orphaned and sort of a bit afraid now.
I think
especially
we do.
With you know, when the Kwasi Kwarteng did that sort of bizarre mini budget that just backfired massively, and now they're backtracking like crazy from, and the very, very weak Liz Truss, the mediocrity of her, the sort of, you know, girl whose name you couldn't really remember at school. Was she actually in my year? Yes, she was in your year. She was actually in your class. She sat next to you. What do you mean you can't? I can't remember her. What was her name? Linda. Was it Linda?
Oh my God, you're so right. I mean, I think always until now, I've kind of felt like I've disagreed with the grown-ups in charge.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
They have been grown-ups, haven't they?
Yes. I think. Yes. Okay. So you okay, I wouldn't do it, but if you're going to stand by that, I'll sort of, you know, I'll sit down. Yeah.
Yeah. So they kind of know. All right. Well, they know what they're doing, and they're well briefed, and sort of they must know something that I don't. I don't think that. I don't feel that at all, and that is really scary. It's a very frightening time. It really is.
And to feel so rudderless, to feel, and we're like, we are grown-ups. We're in our 60s. We should be sort of being able to say, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. This has happened before. It's going to be fine. And I don't feel like I can sort of look at young, I can't look young people in the eye.
Do you know, that's right. That's so true, isn't it? It is. Mm. It is true. The mess that we have, that our generation has created largely, I have to say, is, and the fallout
yes, but
from
not,
it.
We individually, we didn't mean all this shit to happen. We didn't
well,
do
no,
this
of course
on purpose.
We didn't.
I mean,
no,
we want our young people to be able to buy houses, for God's sake, because they're all bloody living with us if we can't get under their own roofs. I mean, I've still got Daisy here because I've seen some of the accommodations she's gone to look at. You know, that's my niece that's staying with me, Daisy. She's 22. She's a lovely girl. She's absolutely no trouble. But I've seen some of the accommodation Daisy's going to look at. And I mean, when an estate agent sends you particulars and the place is called The Cave, I think that's a clue.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's just awful. These huge, expensive, you know, dumps, hovels, damp shitholes. Anyway,
Well, thank goodness she's able to stay with you. That's nice. That's actually nice, isn't it?
Might put a rent up. Oh, dear. Honestly. Right, we must crack on because we could talk all day, but I've got to set off for Carlisle. Now, food sensations.
Food sensations. Well, not very much on the boat, but a lot of lovely fish and a lot of grilled calamari and fried calamari and a lot of fried fish with lots and lots of mayonnaise. God, I'm fat. Mm. Delicious, delicious, delicious. Yeah, lots of that. But Mike did his usual mad menu choices.
Yeah, yeah.
And the most disgusting of which was a stonefish soup, which he'd spotted. And honestly, you could see the people in the kitchen thinking, oh, God, nobody's ordered that all season. Okay.
Some what is stonefish soup? I didn't understand it. He put the picture on the notice board and I just didn't understand what it was.
It was a stone. I mean, it was basically not a stonefish. It was a big stone covered in kind of seaweed, which I imagine they've had in some sort of bit of Tupperware in a fridge somewhere that comes out.
Yeah. Some barnacle sort of
kit. Yes. And it sat, you know, head and shoulders above this watery fish soup. But it was
dreadful. Yeah.
Hideous. Hideous. Yeah. He seemed to manage to get that down in, but I don't know why. Yes, so lots of nice food, lots of lovely food, and far too much ice cream. Oh, masses and masses.
But you were cycling every day, so you're allowed.
Yeah, but, you know,
I've done nothing but eat sandwiches. I'm now 90% sandwich. I'm basically, you know, I haven't got flesh. I've just got bread. I've just got crusts. All right, I'm just fat with bread. There's too much bread, and then a bang bang chicken noodle salad, which I like from Mark's, but you know. My nights at home have been very few and far between, and whenever I am at home, all I want is fish pie. I want fish pie, that's all I want.
Is it? Yeah.
I'll tell you something else, Judith. Something that's slightly disappointing about the niece. You know, I love her very much, but, you know, my brother can cook. My brother's a really good cook.
Yeah,
you
know, I know.
My niece has got no cooking skills whatsoever.
That's a shame, isn't it? That's a shame, because she could have rustled you something nice up when you got home, wouldn't she?
I just thought there'd be some tray bakes going on. I thought there'd be soups and tray bakes. I'd come home and there'd be, fug of some of cooking in the kitchen. There's no chance at all.
Yeah, it's just too busy.
Anyway, I'll finish off on this, right? I bought her a cheese slice for her birthday, right? Because I'm very
generous. Cheese slice? What do you mean a cheese?
Yes.
What's a cheese slice?
A cheese slicer. A cheese slicer.
What's that?
That's what I mean. You know, it's a sort of implement for slicing cheese. So you can get a thin slice.
Oh,
I can't believe you haven't got one, Judith.
I do not have a cheese slice.
Well, that's Christmas sorted out. It's a cheese
slice.
Why
would you not just use a knife and get a...
Because this is the way to get really thin slivers of cheese, right?
Right.
Okay. Because it saves you money, you know. She buys a big block of cheese at the beginning of the week and has got to see her through. So she's moaning about me not having a cheese slicer. So I got her one for her birthday. I didn't know this. I got it from Amazon, and it turned out that for some reason they categorised it as a restricted purchase, like it was an offensive weapon. Because it has a blade.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Really?
And when the bloke from Amazon turned up with it, I had to show the delivery man my passport before he handed the package over.
I shit you not,
Judith.
You're kidding.
I know. It's ridiculous.
Good grief. That is imagine, I mean, it'd be quite difficult to do a lot of damage with the cheese.
Well, that's what I said to the Amazon man, and I sort of tried to demonstrate, and then he backed off away. So how would you do it? What would you do? Anyway.
I can picture you backing you off.
Yeah, well, are we going to Culture Corner, Judith, are we?
We're going to Culture Corner.
before that, just to say a big thank you, because I have had some lovely backstage gifts recently, and I will be handing over to you on Wednesday night. Is that right?
Thursday night.
I'm really, really sorry. It's been a very long week.
Well, I hope it's Thursday. Otherwise, I'd be in Worcester on my own.
Yeah, that'd be funny. Ceramic bowls from a Jane Bond.
Oh, yes, the lady that makes the bowls.
Yes, yes. I've got your ceramic bowls.
Oh, I'm excited. Is it lovely?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely gorgeous. So I'll hand those over. And I've got some chocolates and I've got wine and, oh, marvellous. Culture Corner now, Judith. Culture Corner. What have you got for me?
I haven't really had a chance to do very much at all, except we've been watching on Netflix, because we finally figured out how to get on it remotely. The film, which is the new film about Marilyn Monroe called Blonde.
Because the jury's been a bit out on this one. Yes. Some people like it and some people don't. What do you think?
I can imagine that. But I'm so fascinated. I mean, I'm prepared to suspend my scepticism because of the story of Marilyn. And I hadn't realised the tortured childhood that she had. And I suppose that kind of strange, you know, she was this sex symbol, but needy girl. And in very much,
little girl.
A little girl needing her father, who she never knew and who would occasionally write to her. But then this awful marriage that she had to Joe
DiMaggio.
Yes, well done. And then this actually rather joyous, erudite marriage that she had to Arthur Miller. But then, you know, clearly she was this sort of pin-up. And knew how to use her sexuality. It's probably a bit fussy in terms of the way it's shot and everything. It's a bit overly fussy, and there's some rather sort of ridiculous kind of ways that they shot various things. But the story is amazing,
I get home next, I'm heading for that. Actually, I've got Netflix on my iPad, so I can watch that,
you
know.
You could.
We have watched, I don't know whether you'd enjoy it or not, it's a bit one note, I think. It's This England, which is Kenneth Branagh being Boris.
Oh, I want to see that.
Yeah, I rather like the woman playing, Carrie. I think she's very good. She really does. She looks like her, and it's a smart performance. And Kenneth Branagh is doing a good Boris, but you can see the prosthetics at work as well. So sometimes there's so much prosthetics, it doesn't look like Boris. It looks like his father, Stanley. You know, it's kind of slightly overdone, but you know he is making a good fist of it. It's a good job, and it just hasn't got quite enough. I like the domestic stuff, and there's not quite enough light and shade in it for me. I want to see more domestic stuff between Boris, his original family, Carrie, and all that sort of thing. Because I'm just nosy like that and a bit cheap.
We all are.
Let's face it. Yeah, and it's quite weird watching our recent history replayed.
And does it go through the pandemic? I mean,
yes, it does. There's a lot of real life footage.
Oh, I really want to see that.
It's kind of, you know, it's a patchwork quilt of drama, real life footage, you know, quite well known actors playing, you know, Dominic Cummings and Matt Hancock and God, you know, everybody, et al. So, yeah, an interesting piece of work, really. Mm-hmm. The other thing you've missed, Judith, and really need to catch up on is Strictly has started.
Strictly,
and
yeah,
the
know,
standard is incredible. It is incredible. Gosh. People are already getting eights and nines.
No. Well, where are they going to go from there? I mean,
where are they going to go? Only, the only way is down.
And how's Jade Adams doing?
Really well. She's doing well. She's middle of the leaderboard. I mean, there would be other years where she'd be, you know, much nearer the top. I mean, it's a really strong field to the point where you just do, as you've just said, where do they go from here?
Yeah.
You know,
who's the older
booking?
Who's the older booking this year?
Kay Adams is younger than us. Well, she's 60 this year.
Kay Adams, I know.
So she's from Loose Women. She was actually the first out. But I saw her, she did Charleston on Saturday night, which was a really neat little piece of work. And she's got the most fabulous legs. But I didn't see the result show. And she was in the bottom two. And she was in the dance off. And she apparently forgot the dance. And so that's why she was voted out. Up against Matt Goss. I think, you know, the old Brossettes will be out in force. They won't want him to go. It's going to be very interesting. But, you know, if they're not careful, it will come down to a popularity competition rather than a dance competition.
Yes. Yes.
Although the judges do have their say at the end. And I tell you what is absolutely beautiful is there's the girl, Ellie, who's an Olympic swimmer. She's the one with dwarfism.
Oh, yes,
and
I know, yeah.
The cleverness of the choreography, and she's dancing with that dishy Russian boy, Nikita, I think, or something.
So the difference in height must have been...
Oh, it's enormous. It's enormous. Yeah. But she has such poise, such grace, and such... musicality, and the magic between these two is very humbling. And you know me, I'm an old bitch, and I watch these things and I go, oh, but I'm going, oh my God, oh, this is beautiful.
Oh,
really,
wow.
Really stunning work. Yeah. So, you know, sometimes you just got to give in to these things, Judith. You have to go, yes, this is life affirming. I take my hat off to you. I'm now crying. Yeah. So books.
Yes, I finished the book which you recommended called My Policeman, which I loved, actually. I really enjoyed it. And I tell you what it kind of made me realise is actually our mothers, because it was set in 1955, some of it, wasn't it? Or the 1950s, when she married the guy that was turned out to be gay. Is that actually being a sort of going back to work when you got married was sort of a, not exactly a privilege, but it wasn't a given, was it? You know, it was a different time.
And many women didn't do it. And I think also, you sent me an email with your notes on this saying, you know, how many sham marriages must have happened.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because people's sexualities must have been compromised so much. I mean, being gay was so illegal. People lost their jobs. It was complete no-no. So, yes.
Especially if you were a policeman.
So,
it was a really interesting insight into a slice of history that if we're not very careful, we kind of forget. How, you know, punished gay people were.
Yeah.
The author of My Policeman is Bethan Roberts. Fifth book.
Well done.
Right. What else have you read?
I've read the new David Sedaris, called Lucky Go Happy, which is a collection of his essays. I don't know what you'd call them, really. Essays, pieces, performances.
They're all those things. They're pieces, essays, and they are performance. They're performance pieces. I've seen him live. He was great.
Oh, I'd love to see him live.
Yeah.
Did you?
No, he was really good. He was really, really good.
I bet he was.
We are both coincidentally reading, like, Great Minds Thinking Alike, the new Kate Atkinson, Shrines of Gaiety.
God,
and
it's
great fun. Isn't it
good? I mean, I saw
fun?
A review of it saying that it's like Dickens. She's like the new Dickens, isn't she? I mean, the characters, 1920s Soho, the Roaring Twenties, the kind of criminal underworld, but also not just that. You know, people from the north who come down to London. Mm-hmm. It's beautifully performed on Audible as well, isn't it?
Jason Watkins performing very, very
so
nicely
good.
Indeed. Yes,
so
I mean, there's policemen, there's Good Time Girls, there's drowned girls who end up in the river, there's Nellie Coker, who runs nightclubs, and her peculiar family. It is, as you say, this wonderful sort of Dickensian cast of characters. I mean, when I first started reading it, I thought, oh no, because a bit of it strays a little bit close to something I was going to attempt to do in my next book. But sometimes you have to go, oh well, everybody thinks like, you know,
you
there's
do.
Often a lot of coincidence.
Absolutely.
And in any case, Kate Atkinson is just the queen of this kind of thing. And what strikes me reading this book is how much fun she seems to be having writing it.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? I mean, one of the characters, I think he's called Niven, who's just started writing a book. He's decided to be, I mean, you know, well-off criminal, or sort of the son of Nellie, who's this sort of matriarch criminal. So he decides kind of to write, you know, a best-selling novel, kind of detective novel. And yes, you're right, she does, doesn't she? Because you could kind of, he's at the typewriter saying, oh, I think he'll say that. Oh, no, no, perhaps he won't say that. Oh, that sounds better.
I haven't got to that bit yet, but I can't wait. It's just like, you know, it's I get to bed and I think, oh, I've got that. I've got that.
It's a treat.
Yes,
it is a treat. Very,
nighttime
very
treat.
Good. I think so, that's a 5-star.
Judith, I'm really, really sorry, but I have to go to start my journey to Carlisle now.
You do.
So thank you so much, everybody, for all your lovely emails. We have had a lot, but I'm sadly, we don't have any time for them right now because my
driver
is going to be outside the door very, very shortly. There's just one that made me laugh a lot. Dear Jenny and Judith, I find it impossible to resist chocolate cake and other goodies.
Oh, yes.
And I'm just plain greedy with them. Imagine my excitement when a friend told me about Kitchen Safe. This is a transparent box that you put things in and set a timer.
I know, brilliant. It you then see the picture locks. Of it? See the pictures
yeah,
that she said?
Yeah, it then locks and cannot be opened until the time is up. You can set the timer for minutes or days.
Fantastic.
At the moment,
fantastic.
I have a large piece of apple cake locked in it.
It's
hilarious.
This is such a brilliant idea. But kind of, I don't know whether that's right or I suppose the thinking behind it being clear. So you can see the piece
you
of apple cake
it.
That's
yeah.
locked away,
yeah.
but you can't get at it.
It's like something out of the Crystal Maze or something. You think, oh God, you know, what if I did open it? Would a bomb go off in my face?
Yeah, yeah. And how can I, you know, what sort of sledgehammer do I need to open the fucking thing?
Yeah,
I want one really badly, except at the end of the email, she says how much it costs. It costs £69.
Yeah. Yeah, she says, I realise that's expensive, though this does stop me from attempting to whack it with a hammer in order to get the cake.
Yeah.
And then this line, which I really liked, I hope to be like a racing snake in time for the LBD, Little Black Dress at Christmas. Love to you both. Think your podcast is great and I have tickets to see Jenny. This is exactly the kind of mail we like to receive.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. That's
Tracy.
Age 62 and 9 months. Thank you so much, Tracy. Judith, I'm so glad you're back. Daisy, lovely to hear from you again. Lots of love, everybody. Take care of yourselves. You two take care of you, Judy.
Okay, and I look forward to seeing you on Thursday in Worcester.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah,
okay, safe journey,
already.
Jenny.
Okay, counting
bye,
down
gang.
The minutes. Bye, everybody.
Toodle
bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.